Welcome to the second issue of Notes from the Western Edge, a monthly on-demand webcast featuring musicians who create on the edges of jazz, new music, electronics, and a broad expanse of sonic spaces in between. In program number two, you'll hear from two musicians whose music-making methods could hardly be further apart. Joe Zawinul, one of the legends of modern jazz, is first and foremost a keyboard player who applies his fingers to pianos, both acoustic and electronic, and to a wide array of synthesizers. He's been part of the international jazz scene since he first moved to New York City in 1959, and he's got a lot of great stories to tell. You'll hear him talk about saying no to Miles Davis, about composing in a silent way on a snowy night in Vienna, and about practicing with Ben Webster and Coleman Hawkins before playing Come Sunday for one of his musical heroes, Duke Ellington. As a bonus, you'll hear a few words from the Duke himself. DJ Spooky is a young musician, philosopher, and multimedia artist who remixes and mashes up sounds and voices from all over the world into a mesmerizing flow of bits, beats, and sonic textures. Some of his music is best heard while shaking it on a dance floor, while other pieces carry provocative socio-political messages that he says need to be heard. I hope you enjoy the show.
My inspiration is the sound. All I need is a sound. The music, number one, has to have meaning. It has to talk about something.
From his boyhood in 1930s Austria to the streets of New York in the 1950s and 60s, from the windswept vistas of his Malibu home overlooking the Pacific Ocean to his new jazz club back in Vienna, Joe Zawinul has made a life of journeys, both musical and geographical. The tune we're hearing right now is his Boogie Woogie Waltz, originally recorded in 1971 by Weather Report, the fabulously successful band he formed with saxophonist Wayne Shorter. This version was recorded in 2004 with his current band, the Zawinul Syndicate. At age 73, Zawinul plays with a ferocious energy of a man half that age. I asked him, how do you do it?
I do a lot. I do a lot of sports. I have grandchildren. I play. They are all very heavy in sports, and I play with them a lot. And on the road, I always have. I have a very young band, and they all play soccer, and I play soccer. I box.
Boxing, one of the many things that Zawinul has in common with a man with whom he shared a long history, Miles Davis. But before we get to that part of the story, let's take a listen to the song that first made Zawinul famous.
It's called Mercy, Mercy, Mercy.
That's Zawinul on electric piano playing his tune Mercy, Mercy, Mercy with alto saxophonist Cannonball Adderley. A tune that would be covered over the years to this day by a panoply of artists. Marlena Shaw, Ernestine Anderson, Eddie Jefferson, the Buckinghams, Queen Latifah, even Kenny G among them. And while Mercy, Mercy, Mercy emphatically shows Zawinul's immersion in the funky side of American music, his roots in European soil show through in many of his more lyrical compositions, for example, in his Three Postcards. Zawinul played the accordion as a boy, and later was classically trained in piano and composition at the Vienna Conservatory. But it was jazz that had a hold of his soul, a compelling force that pulled him towards America, the land where jazz was born. In 1959, while in his mid-20s, he moved to Boston to attend the Berklee School of Music. Almost immediately, however, his career began to take flight, first with Maynard Ferguson, and then with the great singer Dinah Washington. It was then that he first met Miles Davis in an introduction facilitated by Dinah Washington's personal assistant.
So then I ran into Miles, you know, and this lady, Ann Little, she walks behind me while Miles asked me, who are you? And she says to Miles, you tell me you don't know who this is? And she says, I couldn't even talk. She was so quick. She said, he's Dinah Washington's piano player. He works with Dinah. So come by to Basin Street East and tomorrow night and check him out. So he came by because he was a big Dinah Washington fan. And a lot of the great musicians were really Dinah Washington fans. And he liked what I was doing quite a bit. And he came to me. He said, man, I want to do something with you. Not there. The next day at Birdland, he said, man, I want to do something with you, man, something. You know, I don't know. He didn't express himself because I didn't let him finish all the way. I said, no. I said. And he said, what do you mean? I said, no, this is not the right time. I'm not in a hurry. You know, I have a very nice job here, and I'm learning. I'm too green. I don't want to. I want to take my time, and forgive me if I say no to you. But I have great admiration for you. But maybe one day it will happen. And then even we make history together.
And history, indeed, is what they made, starting with In a Silent Way. It was Christmas, 1969. Zawinul, his wife, and their three sons had traveled to Vienna to spend the holidays with Zawinul's parents. They stayed in a small hotel in a neighborhood filled with memories of his childhood.
So we arrived in Vienna. We had a wonderful getting together with my parents. It was one of the greatest feelings I've ever had in my life, because it was a circle. It was not closed. It was one of the spirals was closed. And that was the first time I could say, hey, you know, life has been really good. And it's evening, and the wife falls asleep pretty immediately. And I was just thinking and looking out over to the state, to the park. And the park. And it's right in my neighborhood where I was conceived, and all I could see the house where I was conceived in 1931, you know. And I look out and the snow starts falling, and then I took a piece of a serviette, which is a napkin, and wrote the tune in about 2 minutes. And I looked over to the park, and it was snowing, and it was this beautiful house. It's an old famous house where Johann Strauss used to play. And the peculiar thing about that is that in this house, totally independent from all this, the very first exhibition in Europe of Miles Davis paintings was in that building. And I looked at this building where the snow went out, you know, and this is a funny circle. And now 50 meters from there is my Birdland Club.
That's not where the story ended. As sometimes happens in the highly competitive world of big-time jazz, a major rift caused by jealousy over who would get to record In a Silent Way first brought an end to Zawinul's 9-year gig with Cannonball Adderley. As it happened, Zawinul had been playing his brand new tune within earshot of Miles Davis, who fell in love with it at first hearing. Zawinul promised the tune to Miles, a gift that deeply displeased the brothers Cannonball and Nat Adderley, who wanted to record it themselves. In the argument that ensued, Zawinul realized that his time with the Adderleys was over. But as in most moments of crisis, opportunity is waiting to unfold. 10 years earlier, when Zawinul and Wayne Shorter had first met, they discussed the band they would form one day. Well, that day had come, and the band that emerged was one that was to change the shape of jazz not only in America, but of music all over the world. Weather Report. Milky Way, the first track on the first Weather Report album, released in 1971. The sounds you hear were created by Zawinul on acoustic piano, Shorter on soprano saxophone, and some creative tape recording and editing. Milky Way was an indicator that this was no ordinary jazz group, but a band that was forging entirely new territory, one that eventually became known as fusion. Over Over the next 15 years, Weather Report was to record 17 albums and pick up a Grammy Award along the way. But by 1985, Zawinul and Shorter decided that it was time to put Weather Report to bed and to get on with other musical projects. In Zawinul's words, they had become Weather Report slaves, that as individuals, they were being suffocated by the name.
There was a phone call coming, and they needed a picture of Wayne Shorter, and they needed a picture of Joe Zawinul, and nobody had a picture of us because they didn't know our names.
While the publicist might not have known the names Zawinul and Shorter, the whole world knew their music, notably on the continent of Africa, where many of Zawinul's current musical collaborators were born.
And the reason I have a lot of African musicians in my band is that they know my music better than the Americans, because the younger American guys, or the middle-aged American guys, retro bebopped. Instead of going on, and I have nothing against that, bebop is a great, great culture, great music, and it's worth to be played. But continuously, 50 years later, to still hear people, young people playing bebop solos, but just the way it was played then, but not nearly as good and fresh. For me, that's almost an insult to music. Well, the Africans, see, we grew up at Ellington and Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey and Count Basie and Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie, Charlie Parker, Bill Holiday and Art Tatum, and they grew up mainly with still Miles, but Weather Report number one.
So it's almost like Duke Ellington and Miles and all the music you were mentioning reached across the Atlantic to you as a young person.
Absolutely.
In Austria. And then later, 30 years later, Weather Report
reached the whole world.
Yeah.
Very. From Japan to South America, everywhere. Weather Report reached everybody.
From Weather Report, Zawinul moved on to form the group's Weather Update, and then later his current group, the Zawinul Syndicate. Almost 2 years ago, he opened Joe Zawinul's Birdland, his club in the city of his birth, where this music was recorded. With Joe Zawinul, there's no telling where he will go next, but there's little doubt as to where he came from, as he relates to us in this account of playing Come Sunday for one of his musical heroes, Duke Ellington.
My people. Now, which of my people? I mean, I'm in several groups, you know. I'm in the group of the piano players, the music of the people. The people, that's the better word. The people rather than my people, because the people are my people.
So Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster every day when I was home, I was not that much there, came over there and we played. And Paul Gonzalez. And I taught, and I played with Ben all the time Come Sunday, you know. Because he was in the band when they played it, but he didn't know the chords. So I showed him all the chords. So anyhow, it was nice, and that was the experience of my life. And Paul Gonzalez went to Duke Ellington one day and he said, there's one guy, man, he can play Come Sunday better than you. So. I go to San Francisco and play with Cannon in San Francisco. And Ned got a call because Ellington was down there just waiting for a next gig in Basin Street West, but they had a few days off. But meanwhile, Ellington was very restless. And he wrote music and he called the band who was there to the studio. And it was Hodges and most of them were there, but few were not there. So in that Adderley, we were in town, we played the jazz workshop on Broadway in San Francisco. They called Ned to be a part of that session. So Ned says to me, hey man, I'm going to play with Duke, why don't you come with me, you know? So, okay, I go up there and I just sit there nice and on the side, and all of a sudden they take a break. And Paul says, Joe Zawinul, come here, man. Hey, Governor. Governor was Duke Ellington. That was his name. This is the guy I told you, Kimbrough, comes on it better than you can, you know. So, and Duke was leaning on the piano and I played the song, you know. And slowly drops of tears coming down his eyes, you know. And I've been true to this tune until now. I always play this tune, not just because of that particular event, which was an event, but the lyrics of the songs, of this song, also by Duke Ellington, are so deep.
My people through.
Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge, I'm Richard Paskey. No, don't adjust your audio settings. The music you are hearing sounds exactly the way it's supposed to sound. Welcome to the mashed up, remixed, hypermedia, re- and deconstructed world of Paul D. Miller, also known as DJ Spooky, that subliminal kid. You're listening to the beginning of Rhythm Science in DA-21, a 78-minute CDR given to me by DJ Spooky after I interviewed him at the Standard Hotel in downtown Los Angeles.
I got two turntables and Coltrane, and not just Blue Coltrane, and not just Monk, and not just Miles. I got a million musicians playing over my head, a band of angels responding to the percussion of stomps and hollers. Heads.
When you speak with DJ Spooky, you know right away that you're not speaking to an ordinary DJ. With degrees in both philosophy and French literature, Spooky's observations are punctuated with names like Andy Warhol, John Cage, Marcel Duchamp, Merce Cunningham, Yannis Xenakis, all great artists from the 20th century avant-garde. And then in the next breath, he's talking about a who's who of early hip-hop, LL Cool J, the Beastie Boys, Rick Rubin, Def Jam Records. DJ Spooky explains where he's coming from.
I start out mainly as a writer and artist, so the first thing I think about whenever I do music at all is about ideas. It's about telling stories. It's about being able to kind of get into a way of thinking about how digital media has kind of transformed the way we think about communication. So a lot of my work is focused on that. And then the second wave, you got to remember, of course, the word phonograph, you know, means phonetics of graphology, writing with sound. So whenever I make music or whenever I do a project like Rebirth of a Nation, I'm thinking of a social and political context. I'm thinking about how much music moves between all these different realms that might have boundaries, you know. So that's the beginning, and then the rest is it fun? Is it a party?
While much of DJ Spooky's music is lots of fun, his multimedia piece, Rebirth of a Nation, is definitely not party material. Rather, it's a provocative remix and mashup of D.W. Griffith's 1915 epic Birth of a Nation, one of the most controversial films of all time. Spooky's remixed Rebirth is an audiovisual extravaganza created on three separate video screens with multiple channels of audio that move sounds and music all around the audience. Using an array of laptop computers and other digital devices, DJ Spooky combines original images from Griffith's movie, digitally distorted and warped versions of the same, geometric graphic overlays, and projected subtitles, all accompanied by his music inspired by the blues of Robert Johnson. And he does all the audio and video remixing live. No two performances are exactly the same. While Rebirth of a Nation is a technical tour de force, its inspiration is decidedly political.
The election of 2000, when they had all this debacle in Florida, what was fascinating was how obvious it was that they played lots of games with the vote and the electorate in general. And then in 2004, you know, similar tactics were taken and even dispersed throughout the country. They had learned and refined the techniques. So it seemed like, you know, I was thinking, you know, this 2000 election could be a scene out of Rebirth of a Nation, but instead of horses, they had SUVs and cop cars telling you, oh, the voting machines are closed here, sorry. You know, this place is closed, and they were playing a lot of games. So I just realized, wait a second, there's a kind of amnesia in place, and people don't really remember history in the same way because of all sorts of issues, but I have a tendency to think it's because of the information overload we live in. So, to me at least, what happened was, as an artist, I wanted to go back and do a kind of archaeology of American media. So, you know, all roads led to Birth of a Nation.
While DJ Spooky's Rebirth of a Nation was inspired by recent political events and explores the thorny issue of racism in American society, both past and present, his 2005 release, Drums of Death, is something completely different. Drums of Death joins together names from wildly different musical circles. Meredith Monk from the worlds of modern dance and the classical avant-garde, rappers Chuck D and Dialect, Living Color guitarist Vernon Reed, and one of the icons of heavy metal, Slayer drummer Dave Lombardo. What a strange brew indeed. Tighter grip of microphones, results subtle. Simple approach, I keep my mental core humble. Simple-minded souls at verse and befuddle. Red scrolls and bricks rubble. You will win the death, use rebuttal, and hope to.
Music for me is an open system, you know. I really think that everybody is into rules and regulations about music these days. A lot of the hip-hop community is like, yo, we strictly hip-hop, man, you know. Or the classical music will not, you know, they'll have their little symphony thing. The techno guys will go to some raves and plays. I like blurring it. And I like the idea of, in one level or another, getting people to get rid of these labels and say, look, it's about music. Duet with Dave Lombardo on drums and DJ Spooky on turntables and beats. One with the very esoteric title, Incipit Zarathustra, referencing both the opening words of a medieval text, Incipit, and the ancient prophet and superhero of Friedrich Nietzsche's famous book, Thus Spoke Zarathustra. In the context of Drums of Death, it seems to mean, let the super drumming begin. For DJ Spooky, it might always be about the music, but it's about a lot of other things as well.
for example, his recent book Rhythm Science has three parts, or as he calls them, sides. The first two are all words printed on paper, but side three is a CD which mixes electronic sounds and beats with spoken word by some of the last century's most significant writers.
So the book asks a question, how do you make art out of patterns of culture? You know, because I'm really fascinated with the power of the invisible right now. Cell phone frequencies, satellite frequencies, fiberglass networks, you name it. That's powerful stuff going on right now, but half the population doesn't even probably even know how it works, let alone has an ability to interact with it that much. My book, Rhythm Science, I went through my record collection and found really rare writings of James Joyce, him reading into a hand-cranked phonograph from Finnegan's Wake, Gertrude Stein, Antonin Artaud, all these sort of early modernist guys, and then mixed it with hip-hop and electronic music. So it's like Gertrude Stein reading over like a Wu-Tang Clan beat.
If I told him a completed portrait of Picasso, if I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would he like it? If Napoleon, if I told him, if I told him of Napoleon, would he like it if I told him? If I told him, if Napoleon, would he like it? If Napoleon, if Napoleon, if I told him, if I told him of Napoleon.
In this delirious mix of DJ Wally's music and Gertrude Stein's If I Told Him, a completed portrait of Picasso, DJ Spooky collapses the last 80 years into a single point in time, pouring the voice of a writer who hypnotizes with the power of verbal repetition into the turbulent flow of today's beat river.
Shut and open, so do we. Shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters shut and shutters, and so shutters. And so shutters shut, and so shutters shut, and shutters, and so shutters shut, and so, and also, and also, and so, and so, and also. Exact resemblance to exact resemblance. The exact
although he lives in New York City's Tribeca neighborhood, DJ Spooky doesn't get to see home too often. For most of the past year, he's been on the road somewhere on the planet performing Rebirth of a Nation. 2005 also saw the release of Drums of Death, the publication of his first book, and the writing of his next book, Sound Unbound. Slated for 2006 are the DVD release of Rebirth of a Nation, a CD mix of 30 years of Jamaican music, and a mix for Peter Gabriel's Real World Records, which has put their entire catalog at his disposal. Remixed and mashed up, always with an ear for the beats and sounds of today, while never forgetting the artistic and philosophical heritage that informs his own work, DJ Spooky definitely marches to a drummer all his own. Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge, I'm Richard Paskey. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next time we'll hear from two musicians who have at least one prime characteristic in common. They each have forged an instantly recognizable sound that is all their own. Carla Bley, the pianist, arranger, and composer of music both bold and delicate, simple and complex, and Fred Frith, the guitarist, bassist, and composer who straddles the worlds of rock and improvised music like the guitar god that he is. In Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge and Fresh Ears Media, I'm Richard Paskey. Until next time, keep listening.